Morning. Morning. We're learning Shmuel Beis. We are in Perek Chaf Beis. This is our second week learning this Perek. As you can see, it's very long and it's challenging, but we're going to go through it to the best of our abilities. We are up to Pasuk He on page 360. We mentioned as this is, we're coming toward the end of Shmuel Beis, toward the end of David's challenges of life. He reflects, according to one opinion, of all the different travails, all the challenges that he had to undergo throughout his entire life. And he sings Shira, praising Hashem for being spared despite all of those difficulties. We're also going to be seeing, as we saw a little bit before, of how he reflects on history of the Jewish nation as a whole, and how he compares their struggles and success ultimately to his personal struggles and successes. So let's continue with Pasuk He, and let's see how much we're able to accomplish today. Ki Afuni Mishrei Mavas. Kiafuni is translated in the Mesudas Sion, the Sivuni, which means going around, that I was encircled by the pains of death. Nachle Blial Yivasuni. Those individuals who are Blial, which as we mentioned numerous times, some say is a break of two words, one who is Bliol, one who is lacking an ol, a yoke, which means they accept nothing upon themselves, no fear of God, no fear of anything. Those are the people that are trying to harm me, and because of that, Yavasuni, it causes me great fear. And we know that any person that wishes to harm an individual has reason to be concerned. However, if it's an individual like a Blial, it's a person who doesn't care, a person that doesn't have any regard for themselves, like a kamikaze, has nothing to lose, those are the most dangerous people. And therefore, that's something which certainly frightened David the most. It's interesting, in this pasuk, when he discusses this trouble, the difficulty that he had, he says, Mishrei Mavas, which it is translated just simply in English as just from my enemies, that the pains of death encircle me. Now, if we look in Rashi over here, Rashi tells us what a different interpretation of Mishrei Mavas, Ketargamo. And often we hear men talk about this, and women who underwent having children snicker at such a comparison. Says Rashi, Ka'asa diasva al misbura. Just as a woman who is engaged on the birthing stool, giving birth, that tremendous pain that such a woman has to undergo, came shamoshav huavanim sheisha ledasham. That's how he explains it, referring to a woman who is moishav huavanim, by a stone, sheisha ledasham, and that's where a woman gives birth. If you look in the English, he just explains this a little bit more clearly. On page 361, he says, Rashi cites the Targum, who relates the word mishbar to the word mashber, a birthing stool, and translates, distress surrounded me like a woman in childbirth who has no strength to give birth and is in danger, potentially, God forbid, of dying. So as I said, often you'll hear a man say, oh, I wish I could have be able to experience the joys of labor, or at least of the pregnancy, and to be able to bond with my child during those times. And women say, no, you don't. But nonetheless, here we have David, who's comparing the pain that he has to a pain that he's never experienced, which is kind of hard for any person to be able to do with a straight face. But perhaps what David is saying is that he's giving us an overall message of what pain and suffering is. And that is as follows. Now, we can look at pain and suffering, just say it's completely random. And certainly someone as great as David doesn't look at it that way. And when he was going through the difficulties of his life, it was as an opportunity of growth. And that he would be able to, despite all the pain and difficulties, realize that the purpose of that was ultimately to get to something which would be much greater. That he'd be able to be a better person because of those challenges that he experienced. And that's in fact what happened. And similarly, this is the outcome of the situation of a woman who gives birth. At the time a woman's giving birth, bearing in mind, despite all the terrible pain, is that in order to be able to get to the most joyous of occasions, to get to the ultimate, that level of complete simcha, sometimes one has to go through the most unbearable, challenging pain throughout their entire life. And perhaps that's what David is telling us here, that it was through that difficult time, all those challenges that he had, was the reason why he is who he is today, and therefore, perhaps he wouldn't have changed any of those things, because otherwise he wouldn't be as great of a person as he became. Continuing.
Rashi Akahumi, it says Hikifumi. What is Hikifumi?
Where is this?
Rashi, I'm supposed to class K.
It's kind of like to go, also it's the language of going around, like hakafot, which means to encircle. Same concept. So it's when a person, you can almost envision a snake, which keeps going around and around, wrapping itself around, tightening to ultimately it squeezes the last ounce of life from that which is trying to destroy. That's also how David was feeling, that he had this pain of which was keeps going around him and around him and around him, as though he has nowhere to turn. Everywhere he goes, he has these challenges. He has nowhere to run. And as we know, that was in fact what happened in his life. No matter where he went, he was always being pursued, and he was always concerned where he was, whether or not they would just turn him into the king, or perhaps they would kill him because of his past, of all the wars and the bloodshed. So he had the challenges of constantly being encircled with these types of challenges and people that wish to harm him. Pasuk Vav. Chedli Shaul Sabuni. Chedli Shaul Sabuni. Translated into English, the pains of the grave surrounded me. Again, same idea. It's complete, the idea of death. Kidmuni moikshe mavas.
Sha'ol is not Sha'ol.
Sha'ol is a grave.
It's not the Sha'ol running after him.
It could be. That is perhaps the idea of him being pursued by Sha'ol is what gave him this sense of, you know, of being, his life was in danger of
Sha'ol
death.
Sha'ol means grave?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see the English on the bottom in a second. Kidmuni moikshe maves. Those people who wish maves to kill me, kidmuni, they are in front of me. Kidmuni, says the Masudas Sion, is ba'olafanai. They come before me at this particular time. So his enemies are constantly attacking him, and he has nowhere to go. It's very challenging. And if you look again in English, on page 361 on the bottom, that's how chevlin shuttles the pains of the grave. This translation of chevlin's pains follows the Radak. Rashbur's Targum's interpretation of bands of wicked men surround me. Now, the chevel could also refer to a group. It's one thing if one person is attacking, so you have one person attacking, you run away. Or you attack that one person. But when you have numerous people from all sides, then it becomes overwhelming. Pasuk Zayin, Basarli Ekra Hashem. With one form of pain, I called out to Hashem, Vel Elokai Ekra. And so I call out to God. Vayishma Meheichalol Kolin. He listens to my voice, my sweet, well thought out prayers. Veshavasi Ba'oznav. when it comes to Shavasi, that when I cry out, when I scream to God, I'm screaming Ba'aznav in His ears. So we'll understand a couple of things over here. Let's just understand the second part first. There's two ways a person asks for something. A person asks, they're articulate, they understand what they're about to ask is well thought out. And that person will vayishma, will not just hear words, but it'll make sense. They'll understand it. And that's how, on one level, when we are mispala, that when we daven, that's how we're supposed to pray. Well thought out, using our intellect, our thoughts. But sometimes we don't have the capacity to do that. Sometimes our emotions are just so out of whack, if you will, that we have no way to be able to clearly express ourselves with words. And the only way that we can get our point across is through our tears and is through our screams. And at that point, it's not vayishma. It's not that Hashem understands and listens and digests the ideas, but shavasi ba'aznav, it gets into their ears. It's when it's a blaring loud noise, the ears ring. And that's what happens when we cry out. We force God to have to listen to our screams and our cries. And this is what happened with David, that there were some times in which throughout the course of his life, he was able to write Tehillim and to daven and to contemplate and to pray to Hashem. And that sometimes it was just a matter of just pouring out all of his emotions without really sounding any very intelligent. But that's also a time in which Hashem will listen to our tefillos. It doesn't have to be our set prayers that we have in our siddur. In a time when a person has an emotion that wishes to, you want to express yourself, to express yourself to God, that is fine as well, and Hashem will also listen to such prayers. Now it's interesting that you'll see that David had a lot of problems in his life. He had a lot of troubles. But he doesn't say tsaros in this pasuk. He says, but tsarli ekra Hashem. In my distress, I would call upon Hashem. Which you'd probably wonder, it sounds like he only had one problem. Only one thing went wrong in David's life. Probably you could think of many, many things. He never really caught a break. So on this, the Mefarshim explain, it's brought down, it's not in our packet, but it says as follows, that the reason why, V'lama Omar Batsar, V'lama Omar Batsaros, why does it say one and not plural? I mean, he had a lot of things. So he says that whenever we discuss the prophets, the Nevi'im, when they speak to the Jewish people, what they try to do, and I'll just read the sentence, L'fi shekol ha-Nevi'im miyachdim saroseim shel Yisrael umatin osam. There's going to be two interpretations of this, just translating it, that whenever the prophets would speak to the Jewish people about the problems in plural, with numerous issues, they would always try to umatin osam, try to minimize them. Which means to not focus the Bnei Yisrael's attention on millions of issues, because then it just becomes overwhelming. And God forbid you can just give up. But instead, what the Nevi'im did was always to try to build up the Jewish people. And therefore, whenever they would focus on issues, they would only focus on one issue. And also, it makes more sense to do that way practically. If a person has a million issues, then you don't know where to begin. And you have no way that you can possibly improve. But if, as the Nevi'im, with their wisdom, understood, focus on one thing. Grow and focusing on that one thing. Otherwise, it would be too overwhelming. Mefarshim explained furthermore, V'hoyabaru lehem shetzarech lachzer b'tshuvu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'schus zos hismatu sorosehim. He says, the reason why it's written language yachid, it's only one distress and not numerous, is because, generally speaking, numerous issues stem from one problem. That's how it usually is. And one really reflects on their own problems or their own thing, whatever's happening in the economy. The reality is there could really be just one thing. If you can really focus and tap into this one issue and refine that one thing, then numerous other issues can be resolved as well. And he says that that's referring to tshuva. Tshuva means repentance, but it doesn't necessarily mean just repentance and fasting and the like, but it means reflecting on what was wrong, and it may be just one thing, and if you change that one thing, then all those other issues will go away as well. And therefore, that's what David is saying over here. He's saying, but sarli ekra Hashem. I realize that it's really only one thing that is causing numerous issues, but that's why it's written Lashon Yachid, singularly. And it's also interesting to note, before we move on to the next pasuk, is that it seems redundant, as many songs are, as we, the Mefarshim, as we talked about last week. Generally, whenever the Torah has an extra letter, we have to look at it critically. When it comes to a shira, when it comes to a song, you listen, turn on a song on the radio, there's constant repetition over and over the same lyrics. And therefore, on one level, you can look at any song in the Torah with that answer, and that's acceptable. But in this particular context, you'll notice, but sarli ekra Hashem, belokai ekra. So it says that I call out to Hashem, and it says again, I will call out to Hashem. But you'll also, you'll notice that there are two different ways in which Hashem's name is mentioned. Once Hashem's name is mentioned the first time, represents one characteristic of God. As God, Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which means that there are Hashem and Elokeinu, there are different attributes, in some ways that Hashem shows and manifests Himself different ways, but Hashem Echad, it's the same God. We should not think that there's, God forbid, more than one God. And so too, this is what David is saying, that sometimes I call out to Hashem when it's Elokai, and when God seems to be very strict and harsh, and maybe I don't understand. But it's also Betzalekra Hashem. I also understand Hashem represents Midas Harachman, compassion. And a lot of times, God will do things, and we may perceive it as, how could He do this, how could He do this? But the truth is, it may be Betzalekra Ekra Hashem. Really, God is doing this as a form of compassion. We don't see it. We may need 10 years or forever to be able to realize why certain things happened. We may never know. But the reality is, our mindset should be that God knows more than we do. And therefore, even though we are undergoing pain and challenges throughout the course of our life, as David did, but we have to realize it's Ekra Hashem. Sometimes it's for the best of ourselves. Okay, moving on to the next pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Now, pasuk Ches. Okay. Vayis Goash Vayis Vatirash Haaretz. So the pasuk tells us that the earth quaked. There was a huge movement of the earth on the Richter scale, went up. Mostos Hashemayim Yirgozu Vayis Goshu Kicharulo. So in the foundation, the very heavens shook and they quaked when his wrath flared, which means right now the earth is smooth, nothing's happening, everything is status quo. But ki charolo, when we push and you push and you push, eventually God's going to snap. He's not going to accept it anymore, and He's going to shake things up, so to speak, and let us know that no matter where we are in life, that earth will shake beneath us to give us that realization that you're not doing the right thing, and you need to change, that there is a God in this world. And the only reason why the earth isn't shaking now is because God is allowing it not to be shaking now, and that we have to be appreciative of the things that God gives us. And that's what David is reflecting on over here. David is saying that at a certain point, my enemies are pursuing me, and I have people that are acting painfully and hurting me, trying to harm me as I'm running away from them, from my life. There's an understanding that God also is observing this behavior, and if you keep doing it again and again, as much compassion that God shows, eventually that compassion will wear off, and unfortunately you'll be harmed. Now, as we see the next couple of psukim, it's also worthwhile to note that these sentences are also quoted when it comes to Kabbalah's HaTorah, to the accepting of the Torah. And in fact, some of the Mefarshim wonder what this, which has to do with David's enemies being harmed, or David being protected from his enemies, what does that have to do with Kabbalah's HaTorah? And The Mefarshim explained in the following way. He says that there are numerous times throughout the Midrashim that quote these upcoming sentences, including what we just read, talking about Matan Torah. And he says as follows, as we rejoiced receiving the Torah, and there were tremendous external stimuli, things that were happening, there was lightning and thunder, it was tremendous like fireworks at the time when we received the Torah, which seems like a very exciting and happy time, but we can also not forget that Hashem went to the other nations of the world, and those other nations were given the opportunity of receiving the Torah, and they did not accept it. Which means that God was rejected, or the Torah was rejected. That which was the most precious and special thing that God knows is, people did not appreciate. And that angered God. And therefore some explain that this is the reason these sentences, which are brought about, which discuss Kabbalah Satorah, which seems to be a very happy occasion, nonetheless, when it came to the other nations, it was not a very happy occasion, because it showed their lack of commitment, and therefore for that reason, God's anger showed. Continuing Pasuk Tes. Ola Oshen Be'apo. Now, obviously, God does not have a mouth or a nose, right? It's all anthropomorphically speaking that he has this anger and this smoke which comes forth from his nostrils. The Eish Mipiv Toichel, and the fire coming forth from the mouth, almost like a dragon. Gecholim Ba'aru Mimenu, and Gecholim are coals were blazing forth from him. And the idea is that when a person is angry, you feel this fire, this burning fire within. And in fact, in Kabbalah, it discusses that each person, depending on when they were born, has certain connection to the elements of the world. And there are four elements. So we know water, fire, dirt, or earth, and wind. So each one of them could be used properly or misused. And there are some people that have the capacity of the nature of Eish, of fire. Fire can be used in a proper way. Fire can be used to be warm, to be giving, to be thoughtful, which means you can utilize and channel your emotions, which means you're an emotional person, to be kind to another person, to help another person. Unfortunately, some people use the mid of Eish with kas, with anger. And that's that element over here which is being discussed here. That God will allow that element of Eish to manifest itself and to do harm against the enemies. Against David's enemies and against also the nations of the world, which, as we're going to discuss in the next pasuk, what these next sentences are actually more specifically referring to. We continue in pasuk Yud. It says Vayet Shemayim Vayera. It says that he went down. And God was not up to go down. We'll discuss why it uses that strange language. But he went down. He bent from the heavens. Va'arofel tachas raglav. Arofel, the Siddur Sion translates, is kinyan av he'anan. It was a very thick cloud which came forth from beneath his feet. Again, God doesn't have feet. So what is this referring to? This cloud, and what is this? So if you look in Rashi, on the top of page 362, that God wished to seek revenge against his enemies, mimitzrayim umiparo, from Paro and the country, from the nation of Egypt. And some explain that the whole issue of Paro, that when he was asked to allow the Bnei Yisrael to leave, he said, "Mi Hashem Asher Yishma Bekolo." Who is this God? He doesn't necessarily mean they didn't believe in God, but he didn't believe that God cared, that God was involved in this world. And therefore he said, there's no reason for me to have to let the Jewish people leave. I believe in God. But God's not going to be involved in this world. He's not going to care. And perhaps that's the idea of why this pasuk mentions the word vayerad, that he came down, that he descended, as though to give him, to show that God is involved in this world, and by being involved, by doing all these different, the plagues and taking the Jewish people out of Egypt, shows his involvement continuously in this world. And therefore what David is doing, now David wasn't alive when the Jews left Egypt, but what he's trying to tap into is God's involvement. That God was involved not just when the Jews had to leave Egypt and then God went back to whatever he does. No, God's always involved. And therefore David, realizing this, said that just as it was Vayora that Hashem came down then and assisted in every step of the way, so too in my life, when I was running away, and perhaps to a person from the outside would say, where is God? Why me? David was able to realize it was Vayera, that Hashem was involved in my life. And that, of course, is our challenge. Our challenge is to do the same, to try to understand and to see God's involvement in our personal lives, as well as in this world. Rafel Tachas Raglov. And that's the idea of this thick cloud in which symbolically represents when the Jewish people were being pursued by the Mitzrayim, that there was this separation. We're going to see this also in English in a couple sentences from now. There was a separation, this thick cloud that protected or separated the Jewish people from the nations of the world. Okay, pasuk gedal, v'yirkav al rechu b'yoav. So, continuing along this theme, this historical theme, but he's saying his own personal shira, his own song, because he's relating to how God did this, and this is his pattern of continuing. V'yirkav al kruv b'yoav, that God was riding on a kruv, which the Masudas Sion says it's a malach, it's an angel. V'yoav, and it was flying. V'yera al kanfei ruach. And he appeared on the wings of ruach, of the wind. There's no wings on wind, but it means God was flying to the assistance of the Jewish people. It wasn't dragging his feet. It was getting there quickly and responding as fast as possible. And that's how he was as well when it came to me. The Masudas Sion goes a little bit further and says as follows, Rabboseinu Zal Amru, that our rabbis teach us that when it says that it was Al Kruv, that God was riding on the Kruv, an angel, it's more specific, Karavya. Behu Hatargim Shel Nar, Ki Demus Adam Lehina. That the Kruvim actually is referring to like the cherubs, which we're familiar with on the Holy Ark. They had the appearance of children. They looked like young kids. And that was the malach, that was the angel with a child look, child appearance of youth. That was the face of what God was riding on. He was riding on the wings of the youth, so to speak. Okay, we can build on that thought, but we'll move on further. Continuing with Pasuk, Pasuk Yudbeis, V'yoshes Choshech Savi Voisav Sukois. So it says that there was darkness that surrounded, and yet there was Sukos, shelters. There was sheltered around him. Choshras Mayim Avi Shechokim, that there was Choshras Mayim, which Rashi translates Choshras as a kesher, that there was so many clouds, they were tied together, it was so thick, were the clouds filled with water. So, this pasuk, as I mentioned to you before, you can look in the English on page 363, and again is alluding to another episode that occurred in the times of Mitzrayim, the Egyptians. On page 363, it says, he made darkness into shelters all around him. According to Rashi, this refers to the time the Egyptians pursued Israel just before splitting the sea. And then he quotes a sentence from Sefer Shemos, the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and went behind them. It came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there were cloud and darkness. So these clouds, which on the surface is gloomy, no one likes a cloudy day. It's dark, it's gloomy. The reality is that the clouds is the ultimate thing that protected the Jewish people. Similarly, now when it came to the clouds in which were seen, which attacked and caused harm on the enemies, that was Hashem showing his care and how he made like a sukkah to protect David from all the harm that he had to undergo. Now when we hear all this, you think that God's a pretty dark character, if you will. He keeps mentioning darkness and darkness. And therefore, Pasuk Yud Gimel continues and says, Minoiga negdoi. Noiga, says the Mesuzah, is an Inyan ha'ora. This represents the language of light. A brilliant light comes forth from God. Ba'oru gachali esh. It's before him burn fiery coals. And this, if you look in Rashi says, as I just mentioned, that Minoiga negdoi. Shalom Tamar, b'choyshech hu shruya. You shouldn't think that God exists in darkness. Obviously, what does it mean, light and darkness? God created light and darkness before, you know, that's what it says in the Torah, in the time of the world, of the creation of the world, which means there was no such thing as light and darkness. But it means, choyshech doesn't mean darkness as we know it. There's choyshech for the Egyptians, the plague of darkness. It means that when it comes to choyshech, that there was just negativity, and God just wants to do harm, and he's vengeful, and he hates, and he wants to constantly cause us problems. No, no, no. That's not true. Ela hanoiga lifnimin hamachitza. Says Rashi that the truth is that God is the ultimate, most brilliant light. This light which comes forth, are these fiery coals, shinishtalchu chitzim al Mitzrayim, in which the arrows were shot up and against the Egyptians when they were trying to cause harm to the Jewish people. Again, what David is trying to allude at is that even though you see choshech, your entire life has thick, thick, dark, gloomy clouds, the truth is that it's minoiga negdo. The reality is it's tremendous light, it's tremendous brilliance. You have to be able to see that light through the end of the tunnel, if you will, to be able to understand the purpose, the ultimate purpose, or how we can grow from the challenges that we've experienced, which, are, of course, is easier said than done. But nonetheless, minoyga negdo, the starting point is that you believe that God is the source of light, which means the source of goodness, then we could undergo the challenges that we face because we realize that God is in control of the world. He comes down to us. He protects us. And therefore, whatever happens, there has to be ultimately a reason in which is a growth experience, even though we experience currently the pains of the labor pains. Nonetheless, we have to focus on the noiga, that it's really ultimately there is a light that is there, and it's something which a person has to contemplate and think about continuously. Pasuk Yudal, Yare min shemayim Hashem. Hashem thundered from the heavens, the Elyon Yitin Kolo, and from above, God gives out his voice. Okay? So which means that God makes himself known to this to the world around us. Okay? If we look at the English over here, where it says 14, Hashem thundered from the heavens against the enemies. So according to some, what is this referring to? That he thundered against, and he let his voice be known? It's referring to Shmuel's war against the Philistines. the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, in which there were obviously wars against the Plishtim, and there were challenges, difficult times. The Aron was taken, and we had to somehow get it back. So God showed in a very unusual way over there how he was involved in this world. The Elyon Nitin Kolo. We can actually hear God's voice if we're listening. We truly are attuned to that frequency. We have to be able to Nitin Kolo. God's voice is there. We just have to be able to see it. So when it comes to the Milchama, he's recounting that war. I remember God assisted me way back then. Unfortunately, there's often a mentality which is known in English as, what have you done for me lately? Right? What have you done for me lately? And David is teaching us that in his later years, to reflect all the way back, and this you can see in English, is Samuel 1, chapter 7, verse 10. This is way, way back. But it's coming to reflect on all the things that occurred in throughout the course of his life. That is something which we have to be thankful for. And similarly for us, that all the things that occurred in our lives, not just what did you do for me today, and what you did for me last year, who cares? That was a long time ago. You have to continuously be makar tov for everything that a person did for you throughout. Of course, it's good to be nice to people today also, but that doesn't take away from the things that were done before. So that's how it's interpreted according to some, reflecting a war from yesteryear. Pasuk Tesvav. V'yishlach chitzim. He sent forth arrows, Yafitzim, and he scattered them. Barak v'yahol, and lightning, and he terrified them. The Yafitzim to me is the key word over here, because when it comes to a war, often the three most important words are divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Because if you have a strong, large group of people, then it's very hard to be able to be victorious over them. However, as soon as they scatter about, they are now all alone. And once they're all alone, not only are they not strong, but even concludes this pasuk, Barak, some lightning in the sky, a natural phenomenon, some noise from above, has the capacity to cause them fear. And very often, the only reason why people attack, not necessarily in war, is because they feel comfortable because they have a bunch of people on their side. As soon as their opinion is an individual, all of a sudden the slightest sound of thunder or the sight of lightning is going to cause them fear. And that's what Hashem does and did for David as well. When it came to his enemies, he scattered them, and afterwards they were no longer a threat. Pasuk Tezayin, Ve'ye Ra'u Afike Yom Gigolu Mostos Tevel. This is a relatively famous pasuk, which we're going to explain and interpret in a second. So he says, Ve'ye Ra'u Afike Yom, that they were able to see the depths of the sea. This is when the Jewish people went into the Yam Suf as it split. Yigol Mosos Tevel. The foundation of the earth became Yigolu, revealed and open. Bigaras Hashem Minishmas Ruach Apo. By the blowing of the breath of his nostrils. This is by the rebuke of Hashem, by the blowing of the breath of his nostrils. So it's interesting the way that the Yam Suf split is something in which perhaps we may have heard before, but have never seen actually in the Mefarshim. If you look in Rashi in Pasuk Tezayin, he says as follows: Yigol Mostos Tevel, Shenivka Hatahom. It says that when the Jewish people crossed the Yam Suf, and some people interpret it in different ways, but this is how Rashi says, that they were able to actually see the depth of where the water was. Tehoin. Kishinivka Yamsuf Nivku Kol Mimos Shiva Olam. that when the Yam Suf split, every drop of water in the entire world split at the exact same time. You may have heard that before, but this is the source in the Yalta Shimoni. That as the Yam Suf split, so did all the other waters in the world. And when I was learning this, I remember what my favorite comic strip by Gary Larson. It's called The Far Side. I don't know if you ever heard of it. There was a picture of this little freckled kid with these thick glasses, and he has his bowl of soup, and it says on the bottom, Moses as a child or something, and his mother's yelling at him as he's parting the soup as some type of like magic trick, and he says, "Stop playing with food, Moses." But this is what happened, that